Oh, I gotta stop doing that. Yeah, baby, it's episode 62 of Scenes from the Evolution. It's November 20th, 2023. I am indeed honored to be with Vanda Mikulski and Don Hammond, who are two of our five co-hosts.
Yep.
See, it's not so bad having five. Hello, Valley. Nice to see you, darling.
It's
not so bad to have five co-hosts. When we're all together, we don't step on each other too much. And besides, we're not even all together that often. So Tori is taking the night off. She's a bit under the weather. Arkady, who was missing last week, surfaced. Turns out he had a very good excuse, and it is that he forgot. There you go. And now he's on the road. He's in Austin, Texas right now for depositions. Again, it's not entirely clear if it's as a defendant or as a practicing attorney, but all he told me, he's in Austin for deposition. So his hometown of San Francisco is where all the action is. He's missing San Francisco at its cleanest. They got rid of a bunch of homeless people and all the feces and heroin needles and everything. Moved it all out to Oakland because President Xi was visiting from China. And he's missing all that. So by the time he comes back, I'm sure they'll bring all the feces back to its normal resting place.
How do they just bring it to Oakland? How does that happen? It's like they have a little...
Trucks,
junkie,
maybe?
Junkie prostitute... pimp bus, you know, like how does that? I always wondered how did that happen to Times Square? Remember, Times Square used to be such an armpit, and then all of a sudden, yeah.
Well, it was just a temporary operation there in San Francisco. That's a big difference from New
right.
York,
yeah. Right?
But I guess if my geography is right, they don't allow pedestrian traffic to walk across any bridge to San Francisco, so it wasn't easy for the homeless to get back while President Xi was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so it's almost shoplifting season in San Francisco. And that's all the mayor, of course.
Where did you get that?
Babylon B.
Babylon B, of course. The great Babylon B. That's a good one. You don't even have to read the articles. The headlines are enough. to get the joke.
It's a little onion-esque.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, except the anti-woke version of the onion. So it's good to have. You know, we talk about this often, you know, the whole pro-Trump, anti-Trump world and the difference between how the comedians are lining up on this side and that side. It's true that for whatever reason, the better artists, be it performing artists, probably visual artists too, although I'm not that familiar with them, but certainly performing artists seem to be aligned with Democrats. And there just aren't that many good comedians on the right. You know, there's a few, but anyway, so it's good to have some balance, I think. And President Biden and his team managed to evoke some good friendly vibes while they were in San Francisco. And then after doing that, Biden ruined it by calling President Xi a dictator, which is a big diplomatic no-no. And Independent, a London publication, did the best job of zeroing in on that. They showed Antony Blinken, our esteemed Secretary of State, visibly, I don't know what the word is, flinching, rolling his eyes when Trump did that. Lest right. you didn't quite notice it, they slowed it down and did it a couple of times. Let's take a look at the Independents, how they captured this.
Today, would you still refer to President Xi as a dictator? This is a term that you used earlier. And Mr. President, after today, would you still refer to President Xi as a dictator? This is a term that you used earlier this year.
Well, look, he is. I mean, he's a dictator in the sense that he's a guy who's
he couldn't stop himself.
He's a dictator in the sense that he is a guy who runs a country that is a communist country.
We're not imagining that, right?
Blinken. poor Blinken.
It's a really tough question, though, for Biden. Like, you got to call a spade, but it's probably the wrong time to say that. So yeah. It's like, how do I weasel around not calling him a dictator? I mean,
well, he officially, I guess he, in practice, he sort of is, but officially he's not. It should be pretty easy to say he's the dem- just say he's the elected president.
With what's a straight so hard face?
As if Biden doesn't lie otherwise? I mean, the one time he's supposed to lie, you can't handle.
Just you know, isn't it pretty clear he's not going to be the next president? I don't know that Trump is, but it's not going to be Biden. It just can't be with all the cats.
You criticize him for not lying. The guy just can't win for losing. Jeez.
I'm terrible. Well, anyway, we get.
Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead, sweetheart.
I just wonder, Don, because I know you're a liberal, progressive Democrat. And
I don't know about all that.
Don identifies as an independent, remember?
As an independent, yeah.
I'm sort of, right?
Yeah. I'm with any anti-establishment candidate, I think. Anyone
you expressed no enthusiasm when I was talking about Vivek Ramaswamy last week, and afterwards, after the show, you chastised me for making this too much of a pro-Trump show. But in that very episode, I was praising Trump's opponent.
Got it.
All right.
You don't need to be defensive with me.
Noted. All right. Well, anyway, so for this week's Trump story, I picked one that I think we can all get together on because it's just plain humorous. Trump once again made reference to the famous Golden Shower incident. This is part of the Russia hoax where they claimed when Trump was in Russia, he hired hookers to come to his hotel room and pee on the bed. The theory being, according to this ridiculous hoax, which people actually bought, that Obama and his wife had slept there. And this was like a way of being, disrespectful to Obama to pee on the bed. This was the story. And people actually bought this. One of the more ridiculous aspects of the Golden Shower thing. So Trump was in Iowa a few days ago and he mentioned it again. And what I really liked about this is I don't think I'm the only one who imagines, like, what is it like when Trump or anybody like him who's, like, rumored to be having affairs or actually having affairs, what is it like when the wife talks to them about it? I mean, do they just ignore it? Do they have to make excuses? So Trump actually made reference to how, with all these rumors or actual affairs going on, he has to explain things to his wife. But he didn't have such a hard time explaining the Golden Shower one. Check this out.
Russia, 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 remember that? He was with four hookers. You think that was good that night to go up and tell my wife, it's not true, darling, I love you very much? It's not true. Actually, that one she didn't believe because she said he's a germaphobe. He's not into that, He's not into golden showers, as they say they call it. He's not. I don't like that idea. No, I didn't. I thought that would be a big problem. I was going to have a rough night, but that one she was very good on. She said, no, that you're okay on that one.
Yeah, as compared to all the others.
But I don't think the allegation was that he had them pee on him, which would be the classic golden shower, right?
The allegation right, was on he the had bed.
Them pee on some bed. That, it's not a bed he was going to sleep on, was it?
It's just total bullshit anyway. I wouldn't worry.
But I'm not sure him being a germaphobe gets him off the hook because he wasn't interacting with the urine. Like that's
sterile. I mean, urine is sterile.
Oh, it is, huh? Well, just because it is sterile doesn't mean that your average germaphobe is going to take it that way.
Right. To embrace
that's what the phobe means, the fear of germs, not necessarily a rational fear. Yeah.
But I love how he refers to Melania, his wife, as if she's, that Melania watching out over me and making sure I behave and all that, because she just got with this playboy in New York and saw herself an opportunity. I think, all those pretty fashion models wanted to schmooze with the big shots of New York and stuff. So I just never saw her as first lady material at all, ever. I don't know why people were seeing her that way, but they were.
Well, I'm not sure what your point is. As far as like, you know, wanting to hook up with a rich guy, yeah, that's probably a safe assumption. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean that she, you know, is willing to tolerate his affairs.
Oh, I think she knows what she signed up for, the Stormy Daniels thing and the grab him by the hussy thing. And the
what do you mean she signed up for it? She was already married to him. What do you mean she signed up for it?
She knew the day she met him that she was signing up for something like, all right, you know, he's going to, there's going to be a lot of, especially when he decides to run for president. Oh my God, that must have been disastrous for her. But, I don't know.
I don't know how you can be so sure that she knew, you know, the level to which he might be having affairs. I mean, that's not the sort of thing that he's like officially known or, you know, he wouldn't have told her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
No.
He's Trump. He's got a history. I mean, you could probably Google it back then when they first met. You could probably have Googled it, right?
I don't know.
His various wife's memoirs weren't very complimentary and all that stuff. So I think she knew what she was getting into with him. And it was like, whatever, I'm in the Trump Tower and I got a baby.
And my parents did not sign up to be first lady. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that was your other point, Vanda. She's not, you're going back to like predicting whether or not she's first lady material. Or you're commenting on how she, in fact, conducted herself as first lady.
Well, there's a little of both there, right? And she,
what's your beef with how she conducted herself? And what was wrong with the way she conducted herself?
I guess, what was it that I was reading? Her assistant that kind of came clean about things. What was that lady's name? I forget. She wrote a little expose about that and said it was, you know, it was a scramble for fame and success and stuff like that. It was, but she was never into, you know, being the first lady. She knew how to pretend it.
We have Vanda up against the ropes. In other words, you don't really have any explanation for her not conducting herself well as a first lady. None of that has anything to do with the question.
Yeah, there are a few different things like that stupid jacket that she wore and the misinformed fashion choices that were just tone deaf and all that stuff. You know, it was like a first lady has to, it's sort of a weird job because it doesn't really, it's not really a position. It's just something you kind of design and make up by yourself. But you can tell people who are into it. Like Michelle Obama was into it. She wanted to help impact it. Childhood obesity and diabetes and all that stuff, right? And they're into it. They kind of take on something that with their.
Well, I think Melania likes being with children. There's a lot of incidents, not incidents, but examples of her being with children, and she seems to relate well to them. By the way, her Playboy husband just opened up a huge lead over Ron DeSantis in Florida, the man's home state where he's governor. 39-point lead. So I don't know. Doesn't
Don,
look like-
how are you feeling about that?
I mean, time will tell. I think that I think Trump overall is bad for the country, and I think it's bad for the country to be going after him also in all these court cases and stuff. I would like him to just sail quietly into the sunset, and we need to never talk about him again. Is where I would like to be on him.
Well, the establishment is behind Nikki Haley, but I don't think the average person is. And a lot of people who like disruptors, as I do, I think, like Vivek Ramaswamy. I talked about him last week, and you guys just stared at me like you were sexually attracted to me, which is understandable. You're only human. But once the initial attraction wore off, I thought you might say something. Anyway, Donna Brazile, who's a famous Democratic Party hack and a TV commentator, was on Bill Maher's show a couple of nights ago, and she got herself into trouble mispronouncing Vivek Ramaswamy. It's actually, I've been mispronouncing it too, but I'm not like paid to be an expert on politicians as she is. It's Vivek Ramaswamy, rhymes with bake, Vivek Ramaswamy. And she got into trouble, and even your former boyfriend, Bill Maher, scolded her and actually accused her, at least, or people who mispronounce his name, as being racist. Watch this from Bill Maher.
Hmm. Needs to just shut the hell up and go home. I'm tired.
We all hate Vivek. Okay. It's Vivek.
Well, whatever. Not that I have... Vivek.
It, whatever. Would you say that about other
Donna,
ethnic?
I'm Donna. Vivek. Is it Vivek Ramaswamy? Ramaswamy?
Ramaswamy.
Thank you so much. I learned so much when I come on this show.
I know, but...
Vivek needs to go home.
Yeah. I agree.
He runs it.
I just feel like there's something wrong with everybody refusing to learn to say his name.
Vivek.
I just feel there's a little racism there.
There's just racism. A little. Okay. Vivek, I'll say it.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying. I know we don't like him, but just say his name right.
I know we don't like him. He needs to go home.
Is it the fake Ramaswamy? Is that what it is?
Oh, you're racist too. I don't know if it's racist, but I think it's weird. Like I said, the woman's job is to be a political analyst, and she can't even pronounce the name of one of the presidential candidates.
I think that's the first time I've heard it pronounced that way. I think everybody I've heard say it
Me
says
too.
It.
Yeah,
so
Yeah.
Well, I just in the last.
I've never met the guy. I've never heard him introduce himself. So how would we know?
Well, I just heard this in the last few days. What he tells people is it rhymes with cake. That's how to remember Vivek.
Well, I'm happy to oblige and call anybody.
She didn't say the last name. She didn't say the last name either. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm done.
All right. Well, do you think I have a point there that it matters that that's sure. like her whole shtick? Now, the reason I say that is because on Ask the Inspector, we get a lot of people from all over the world asking questions. And I always say the name of the person, and we're referring to political leaders in other countries too. And I always freely admit I'm an idiot. I often don't even know anything about the name of the person I'm saying, and I mispronounce it. And sometimes I say it in like a lighthearted way, and the audience sometimes gets angry at me, like I'm making fun of the person because they're from a different culture. But I'm not actually mocking them. I'm mocking myself for being unable to pronounce it. So anyway, that's why I wanted to make that distinction, that it's her job, and he's a presidential candidate. All right, I'll calm down.
I'm happy to call anybody anything they want to be called. Okay.
All right.
No problem. Well,
you can call me America's sweetheart.
I thought you were Jeff Eaton.
Oh, what was it?
Jeffy.
Oh, yeah, right. As a Bobby Kennedy. Jeffy. Thank you for remembering and reminding me.
Hey, is Vivek, is he a Hindu?
I don't know.
This guy in the chat said, I'm from the same part of the world and a fellow Hindu, meaning a fellow just like him.
Oh. Maybe. I don't know if anybody in the audience can tell us the answer to that. I don't know.
Wow.
The guy says yes. I also noted we have somebody from Venezuela in the audience today. They have a new elected leader in the last day or two as well.
Oh, yeah. A wild-haired libertarian. Thank you, Glenn. I won't even mock you for having an unnecessary second N in your name.
Who's the wild-haired libertarian?
Don was just describing the new
Venezuela has a new leader who is pretty right-wing, I understand. Very, very far out there.
Hmm.
Yeah. We'll try to get a picture so you know what I'm talking about. He's wild-haired. Not that that's bad, but it's just noteworthy. That's all.
Was that Argentina? Am I totally wrong on my South American countries?
Well, maybe that's another mistake we're making. Hang on a second. Let me try to get the answer to that. Is that what the audience is telling us? Yeah, it's Argentina.
Oh, okay. I totally messed that up because I think it would be actually more significant if it were Venezuela because they have a different, more geopolitical. Issues.
Yeah. Well, you tried to sound like you knew what you're talking about. Anyway, let's show a picture of the guy so people know what we're talking about here.
No, I don't think all the South Americans are the same.
There he is.
Oh my God.
I don't know that much.
Like him because of the way he looks, huh?
Yeah, right.
It's a rock
would
star.
You say that Would you say the same thing about Steve Bannon? He sort of has that wild rebel look too.
Oh, Steve Bannon. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, Vanda has a new Substack post out now, and it's about the first time she got drunk, and thus it's entitled First Drunk. And I thought it would be fun to talk about that. And I was thinking back to the first time I got drunk, and I'm I was imagining that maybe Don remembers the first time he got drunk. You have gotten drunk before, right, Don?
Isn't it a feature of getting drunk that you don't remember it? Isn't that kind of how that works?
Yeah, that's true. You don't remember it in like every detail, but the gist of it maybe.
I haven't been drunk yet today, but I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Vanda doesn't remember how old she was when it happened. So this is like the second straight article of yours where you, I don't know, the other one you didn't remember, but you didn't mention your age. It kind of establishes the context.
Right. It was around 11, 10 or 11. Yeah. Okay,
that's pretty young to get drunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had no business drinking all that gin and vodka together.
Not only drinking it. Oh, when she says drinking it together, she means together in the same glass, right?
I read it in the same. What a terrible plan. Neither of those is a mixer.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. And the minute you do that, you can't. It was just you're trapped in this sick feeling of everything spinning and you can't get out of it. You can't open your eyes. You can't close your eyes. It's all horrible. Thank God my brother came and got me some ammonia or whatever it is that makes you vomit. It was great.
Yeah. See, when you're a kid, you just don't know anything about the world of drinking. I remember once I was over a friend's house and the adults were playing poker. Mm-hmm. And I served somebody a beer and I got a beer out and I poured it into a glass and I put ice in the glass.
Oh,
because this is what I've observed people doing when they're serving alcohol. Right. And I, to this day, it's funny how these things like really stick with you. They all laughed at me in a way that made me feel like so small and so ridiculous. And I still have that feeling. Like,
no, yeah. I get I'm it. Like,
yeah, yeah. I'm like, what do I know about beer and ice?
Oh, yeah.
So I once had a young man make me a drink. I was drinking a Perfect Manhattan's at the time. And so, you know, I talked him through the recipe and he pours it, but he had not poured the remaining melted ice and detritus out of the cocktail shaker from my previous drink. So he then pours in the rye whiskey and the you know, some bitters and, you know, the vermouth and all this stuff and pours me this drink that's like disgusting. Like, you gotta pour out the shaker first, dude. He was like 11. Okay, I probably shouldn't even tell people that I had an 11-year-old making me drinks, but
yeah, well, I mean, you know, that at least is an ambitious, complicated drink, so you give him a little slack. Cut the kids some slack. One of our commenters just said Vanda should write a biography, but this is sort of what she is writing, right? I mean,
I am, and I'm publishing it on Substack right now. So go there, see vanda.substack.com and subscribe for free. I send out free stuff as well as stuff that's behind a paywall. But I've been talking to an agent about putting a proposal together and, you know, shopping it around to different publishers and stuff. But it's a pretty interesting story because after that I became kind of a drunk, but I also did LSD when I was very young. And then it was a troubled childhood. I lost my brother. I lost my dad in accidents. And then I ran away to New York and became a stripper after a fancy prep school up in Maine. So it was a really bumpy time. I fell in love with a pimp and couldn't get out of that relationship for 9 months and finally did and got my shit together and became a stand-up comedian. But It was bumpy and it was interesting. So I try to make it a cautionary tale and maybe help parents not screw up their kids. And I mean, that was difficult. I'm not blaming my parents for everything.
They look like model parents. There's your drunk father grabbing your mother's ass.
And that's our St. Bernard dog in the background. Look at the big TV. That's funny. Oh, yeah. And You can't see
your
the
mother
piano.
Looks like you look like your mother, or your mother looks
I
like
do,
you.
I do a little yeah, bit. Yeah. She was about must have been it. My dad died at 48, so she must be 40 there or something. Yeah.
So you're writing in the article that you did a perfect impression of your father when you were pouring the drinks, because he would always offer people, get behind the bar in the house and offer people a beer and so forth.
You want a beer? Have a beer. Yeah. You want a beer? Have a beer. How old are you? 6? Good. Have a beer. Yeah. It was hospitality. You didn't care, right. You know? I mean, it was, he was a rule breaker, my dad. And like when his dad was in the hospital, he'd sneak him one of those flasks of whiskey and stuff, you know? He's a doctor. He's supposed to do no harm, but, you know, anyway.
Oh, that's funny. I forgot he was a doctor and he was a drunk and he got everybody else drunk. I like that.
Yeah.
And he's a rule breaker, which you're saying in a very approving way. So, you know, that's what Trump is. That's what Vivek Ramaswamy is.
And that's what RFK Jr. is.
That is correct. That is correct. So just trying to spread out the rule breaking recognition a little bit, you know. Now, what about the woman from Dorchester? You were imitating the Dorchester lady, man.
Is anyone here from Massachusetts? Oh, my God. There was a show called Star of the Day. And it was like, hi, I'm Cheryl. And this is my boyfriend, Bob. And we're going to sing My Sherry and More by Stevie Wonder.
Wicked cool.
Wicked cool. You're a wicked pisser, Jeff. Thanks. Massachusetts.
I went to college in Boston, so I'm quite familiar with that. I'm quite familiar. All right, well, Don, let's talk about the first time we each got drunk. Do you remember when you got drunk for the very first time? How old you were and what happened?
So,
Pamela. How you doing, darling? Hello, Acid Fuzz. Look at this.
How dare you try to talk when I'm interrupting you?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm
sorry. Yeah, so the first time I remember getting drunk, which was certainly not the first time I drank, I was hanging out with some friends at a coffee shop in Redondo Beach that's no longer there. It was called Yesterday's. I used to go there a lot. Cool little coffee shop on Catalina Avenue. And some of my friends had some bottles, and we decided to walk down. You could go across Catalina down into a park. And so we sat around this park. There were probably 8 or 9 of us around, passing around these bottles of like random crap. So I can appreciate you mixing gin and vodka. Yeah, we're mixing all kinds of crap.
Now, how old are you at this time?
I think I was probably 16, maybe 15, but probably 16, I think. Mm-hmm. And so my best friend was there, and some girl that I liked was there, of course. And so a bottle of peppermint schnapps comes around that's got a significant amount left in it. And I'm like, hey, dude, you know, dare me to pound the rest of this one? And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, so stupid Don pounds the rest of this peppermint schnapps while, of course, continuing to pass other bottles. And it just turned into a bad night from there.
To impress the girl.
Yeah, that was not very impressive. We did end up going to this arcade that used to be under Redondo Pier. It just closed recently, called the Fun Factory. And I remember trying to hide. I had a bottle on me still, and trying to hold on to it while going on this spinny thing that's at the Fun Factory. You get on
the tilt-a-whirl.
Whatever. Yeah, the centrifugal force holds you up against the edge of it as it spins around.
That's scary, but even when I'm sober.
Right. And so that night we ended up back on the patio at the coffee shop, where I promptly lost the contents of my stomach and was kicked out of the coffee shop. it was a bad situation all around, but I did, and I had a wrestling tournament the next day, which I proceeded to win.
All right, and now you make a career out of protecting people who are accused of drunk driving. So you're actually, it's an early career move for you. You could look at it that way.
I don't know about that, but I defend all kinds of things. I was certainly eligible for a drunk in public that night, and I've defended people on many of those charges.
Oh, really? Now, Vandis, you said something that struck me as unusual about your experience. You said as soon as you downed the alcohol, things started spinning. Usually there's a period of time where you enjoy it and then, you know,
wasn't that. I think we really did suffer through the slamming it. And it somehow didn't immediately vomit it up. And yeah, and it, I don't know if it was immediate. In fact, I don't trust my memory on this because I talked to the guy with whom I did it, and he said I had gotten the wrong guy completely when I first wrote the story. And he said, no, it wasn't Eddie. It was me. And so he said, and we were naked. I go, no, we weren't. No, that's wishful thinking on your part. We weren't naked. It was too immediately out of control. There was no rolling around in the pine needles or anything, you know? Yeah, no.
Well, I remember my first time, I think I was 14, and I was over a friend's house, and this friend was around my age, but he had an older sister, and she got us drunk. That was my first time, and it was gin and either tonic or maybe mixed it with ginger ale or something that tasted good, and I drank it and didn't feel anything and drank more and had a great time. And then I go home and I immediately get sick and throw up violently. Yeah. But I had a nice long stretch there where it was.
Oh, fun. It was enjoyable to you. Yeah. Oh my God. No.
It takes a while to learn that it sneaks up on you. There's this thing we call absorption that can take, you know, anywhere from 15 minutes up to 3 hours, the average being somewhere around 45 minutes. So, you know, you think, yeah, I feel fine. I'll have another one. And then, you know, the other one is still building, and that's how it sneaks up on you.
Yeah. It took a while before I fell in love with the enchanting idea of, you know, having a drink and really getting the glow, as Bonnie Raitt sings about. You know that song, I need a drink, don't want to think. You know that song?
It glorifies drinking.
And I would drink whatever Janis Joplin was drinking too, because I thought that was cool, you know? And I mean, this is when I was older. At first, you just drink whatever's around, right? Boone's Farm apple wine or whatever. But
one of my favorite songs that glorifies drinking is by Peter Wolf. It's called 5 o'clock Angel. And I think it was Hemingway, I'm not positive, who coined that phrase, meaning it's your first drink of the day and you're kind of like looking forward to it. And then it finally comes and it's the 5 o'clock Angel. to those of you watching who have alcohol problems or members of the family, sorry about that. But anyway,
that's okay. I'm one of you.
Oh yeah, that's true. Now, I don't know about animals. Do animals have a different reaction when they consume alcohol? Because I think I'm living next door to a drunk squirrel. Either that or I'm drunk and it looks like he's a drunk squirrel. Now, I got to show you this video. This is not maybe like the most wacky, you know, the internet is full of these, you know, viral videos of all kinds of crazy stuff. I agree this isn't the wackiest, but this is my next door neighbor. Or, I don't know if you call a squirrel a neighbor, but I sit at a desk and I look through my window and there's a two-story building right across the way. And every day throughout the day, multiple times, this squirrel gets up on the roof, goes to the edge of the roof, and then leaps across to a tree and just barely makes it onto the branch. Now I'm saying to myself, self, that seems dangerous.
Squirrel's a ninja.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're two stories up and a squirrel doesn't make it and hits the pavement, is that going to mean the squirrel dies or gets injured or just,
I think it'll bounce.
Squirrels can absorb that kind of thing.
I think like a cat. I think it would bounce and be just fine.
Oh, all right. Maybe it's not that risky then. All right. Well, let me just show you. I had my phone ready for when it happened, and I captured. Where the hell did I put it? Hang on. I know I got it somewhere. Oh, here it is. Here it is. See the squirrel on the edge of the roof? All right. Now watch this. Is that not a risky move?
I think he could jump much farther than that if he wanted to.
Really? Here, I got it. Here's a close-up now. I zoomed in here. He does this all day long. Maybe it's a she. Yeah. I haven't checked.
I don't think that's a very far jump for that squirrel. I think that's well within his range.
Wow.
It looks to me like, though, yeah, I wasn't saying it was like so terribly far. It was, to me, what I was reacting to is it just seems so precarious. Like,
it is. It's high above the ground. And if you didn't grab on right, that's a long drop. But I think he'd survive that too.
Yeah. So anyway, he must enjoy it, because why do I keep assuming it's a male squirrel? Am I sexist?
I don't know.
Well, historically, in the English language, when you don't know, it's appropriate to use masculine pronouns. We've gotten away from that recently, so we should probably call the squirrel they.
That's plural. It's plural, babe.
I think that it is currently the appropriate way when you don't know is to use the plural.
All right. I'll be appropriate.
Standard squirrel behavior. Mm. All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to get your reaction to that. I'm not a person who knows a lot about rodents, be it rats, be it mice, be it squirrels. As rodents go, though, squirrels seem to have a much better reputation. I'm not sure why. Have you noticed that? They are rodents, are they not?
I think they are, yeah. Not well. I think Dinetta Die tells us that it is appropriate. You can call the squirrel an it. I don't think it's going to be offended by that.
It, right. Yeah. It spends the day going up on the roof, jumping over the branch, and then circling back and just doing it. Not constantly, but, you know, maybe 10 times a day.
Well, what else is there to do when you're a squirrel, right? I mean, you got to kind of keep yourself busy.
I guess so. But the point is, I have things to do, and this is a distraction. I can't help it. See the flying squirrel right outside my way. Anyway, so everybody who's expecting me to finish various projects by a certain time, my excuse is, I'm sorry, I got a flying squirrel here that's distracting.
That's why we don't have a new outro? Because you're distracted by
the squirrel? He's not into golden showers, as they say they call them. He's not. Or her cat was named Vagina.
Ay, with the vaginas.
So what were you just saying about a new outro, Don?
Did you create one? You said you might have time, but I expected that maybe you were distracted by the squirrel. So that's not a thing.
Well, despite the fact that I'm plagued by a flying squirrel who relentlessly distracts me, I did create a new outro today.
You did not!
Did Magnum, too.
Hey, Magnum, that's Jeff's not in California anymore.
Yeah. I'm in North Carolina now.
He ran away to the cheaper state.
We don't have flying... We didn't have flying squirrels in California. This is a North Carolina.
We have a lot
Carolina
of squirrels thing. In California. I don't know if they're flying.
But they don't fly. No, they don't fly. No. Here they fly. Yeah. So Vanda's been haranguing me about the outro because she thinks it conveys too much of a pro-Trump reputation on the show. And I thought, I reacted with a little bit of hostility because I don't think very many people watch necessarily the whole show and then watch the outro and then react to the whole thing based on the outro. I think they're either not seeing it, or if they are, it's really what the whole show is about. But then I thought to myself, even though it means more to her than it does to me, and I think she's overreacting, there's nothing wrong with doing a new outro.
Oh my God. So you did a new one?
Yeah.
Probably all Trump, right?
And I think, this sounds like a setup for like a...
Right. You might like this one less.
Is my boyfriend RFK in it? That's what I wanted.
Careful what you wish for.
I wish I thought of that. That would have been funnier for me to like make a big deal out of it and then just make it more pro-Trump. But no, I didn't do that. It has nothing to do with any politician or anything. It's a rather simple outro. I don't even want to make a big deal out of it. But the point is, I think that you were being lied. There was nothing illogical about what you were saying, Vanda. Yes, it does. And Don was saying it too. Yes, it makes it seem like it's more of an anti-woke thing, more of a pro-Trump thing. Even though I think, you know, the show itself is what it is, and that's how people should judge it and probably do for the most part. But like I said, it was no big deal. So I made the time to create a new outro.
Valley S, make me see it now.
Yeah, we can see it now. You want to see it?
You have to wait. This is the big tease. You have to wait till the end of the show. Maybe this is the end of the show. I don't know.
We could make this the end of the show. Do you want to end the show and then that'll be it, or do you want me to show it to you and then talk about it? It's nothing really. It's not even. It's nothing though. It's just. It's. Oh, actually, there is one thing to it. You know, I gave everybody like cutesy, lighthearted nicknames, and you may not like the one I picked for you. But I figured let's just go with it. We can replace it with another one if you like it better. So you want it? Should I just show it now and then we can talk about it? What do you say?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's just a little cutesy thing. If you want a different nickname, different title, we'll do it. Here we go. Much ado about nothing.
It's just a credit sequence. But that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We need a nickname for Anne. Anne, that was a anticlimactic for Anne not to have one.
Oh yeah. Well, she's the esteemed Anne Moss. We have that in the opening.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But we can also come up with some. Yeah, I'm not married to that. I just wanted to rather than procrastinate and blame things on the flying squirrel, I at least wanted to get something done.
Lab rat, Valley says. Lab rat?
Well, that's because Vanda called herself a lab rat because she has spent a lot of time over the years doing paid medical experiments. And she gave herself that nickname. But you may not, I understand you may not want to
go to my Substack and read about it. It's so interesting.
Yes, Valley. If you had read that article, you'd understand it. So let me know, Vand, if you want me to change it to some other nickname. That wouldn't be any big deal.
Mrs. RFK Jr.
I like that. Mrs. Jr.
How did the Trump supporters, the real diehard, which I can tell there's a few here because they get a little angry when you say anything against him. How do they feel about RFK Jr. in terms of positions and stuff? Because he's a lot like Trump in that he's talking about draining the swamp.
You want me to answer that on behalf of Trump fans? That's a pretty big question. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he's really going for the jugular much more than I think than Trump is in terms of really getting in there and disrupting big pharma, disrupting big war and stuff like that. Is it just me?
Well, I think that you have higher hopes for RFK, but as I keep telling you, Trump did, I think, as much as anybody could expect, given what he's up against, you know. And Trump actually got there, whereas I don't think RFK is going to get there. We have to we have to mix some pragmatism. Is that am I saying
pragmatism? Yeah,
pragmatism with these lofty ambitions.
Yeah, but you don't take $1 million from Pfizer. You don't do that. That was Rongo in the Congo.
Yeah. That's one of your mantras. But there's not a lot of evidence that he was deferential to Big Pharma. So, you know, that's really what matters. If you take somebody and then fuck them anyway, that's not such a bad thing. I'm paraphrasing somebody who said that. I forgot who that was. Somebody said something to that effect. I wouldn't be much of a politician if I didn't screw over the people I took money from.
I don't know.
Anyway, but I agree with you. The one thing that they do share in common is disdain for the deep state. And Trump talked about declassifying the JFK files, but then he didn't do it. I think RFK probably really would.
Yeah, why wouldn't he? You would think that he wouldn't back down from that.
He's persuadable, Trump, you know, so there were probably people around him who persuaded him.
Mm.
What can I say? What organized.
Yeah, all the censorship.
He looked at it and realized there was nothing to really release, and so that was that.
Trump
was sort of a release, but not what everybody wanted.
I don't know about that, but
yeah, I don't know.
RFK is obviously, it's personal for him, and he thinks the CIA assassinated his father and his uncle, I guess.
I would go with that. Isn't it weird that we don't have access to that information? That's like weird.
Well, it's only been 60 years, so you know, let's not rush into anything. I don't know who's still alive that would get into trouble. Just the agency, the institution itself would suffer, but I don't know how many individuals are still alive.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I like when we talk about funny things.
like golden showers?
Oh, golden showers.
He's not into golden showers, as they say they called it.
You know, when you're running for president, I don't know when the golden showers were supposed to have happened, but you can guarantee that when you're working at that level with, you know, about to become the president or whatever, you don't, when you go to Russia, you know that there might be cameras in every room. You would assume that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So therefore what? Therefore,
you wouldn't have done that. Prostitutes and the porn stars. You can't do that at some point, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's like someone who worked with Jeffrey Epstein said he wasn't really that. It wasn't, yes, he had a taste for younger girls, but his job was to blackmail people. That's what he did, you know? Right. And it was scary, the amount of people. And then when he got suicided in jail, and the other guy, the French fashion guy, got suicided in jail too. That was so suspect, but it just goes over everybody's head.
No, you're right. You're right. That's a good point. That people know that they very well could be under surveillance. But also, so like Don was saying before, the other thing that's so wacky about this is it's not even a known sexual kink. You know, golden showers is a perverted thing, but it's known. There's no such thing that I've ever heard of that the people get off on watching hookers pee on a bed. It's not even a thing.
Yeah. Weird thing to make up too, but it's like, why?
Yeah.
I could see if he got drunk, but he's not a drinker, right? He's like,
no, he doesn't drink alcohol either.
Yeah. I could see if he got drunk, he'd say, hey girls, why don't you piss on the bed that Obama slept in? No, but
he doesn't need to be drunk to have weird ideas, but that I'm not sure that is one of them. It's a weird, I mean, he has a lot of money. To me, it's a weird way to spend money. If you're going to have hookers over, like, that's a weird thing to ask him to do. But you know, I guess he's not worried about the money either. So I don't know.
It's totally bizarre. Totally bizarre. All right. Well, why don't we call it a show, and let's wish our missing host well. Tori is a bit under the weather. Arcadi is in Austin for depositions. I think he'll be out for a couple more weeks before we have the pleasure of his company. I guess Tori will be back next week. Thanks to Ann Moss. Oh, thank you, Glenn. What a nice compliment.
Doesn't he
seem like a nice guy? Look at that face. What a punim, as we say in the Jewish
My Northern business. Nevadan. I have a crush on Northern Nevadan. He's always been nice to me. Yeah.
Yes. He's one of our regulars, our favorite. I believe he's a Marine veteran. Mm-hmm. And thank you. Thank you, Northern. Yeah. May I call you North for short? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Valley. Well, shower us with warmth. Shower us with warmth. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Anne for managing backstage for us. Please tune in tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. for Ask the Inspector with Scott Ritter and myself. And we will be back next Monday night, as usual. Happy Thanksgiving, Don. Happy Thanksgiving, Vanda.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, all. Yeah.
Same to you all.
Do you have any plans or...
Paul Lyons and I are going to go with some friends from L.A. and some screenwriter dude from L.A. and hang out.
Hang out?
Yeah.
Are you going to hang out? Is there going to be a consumption of food at a residence or a restaurant? Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. And how about you, Don?
You headed back up to New England with your your mom.
I had plans to do that, but it was too hard to get everybody together. And so I postponed it and I'm going to go the following week instead. Okay. And so I'm not quite sure what I'm doing on Thanksgiving Day yet, but anyway.
Well, you need to find a little Friendsgiving there in your new town.
Yeah, I am invited to one of those, but I don't know if I want to go to it. So we'll see.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I will be enjoying Buca di Beppo with my wife and her parents.
Nice. Really?
Oh, yeah.
We
did that 7 or 8 years ago, and we really had a great time with it. We had a few other people join us then. Last year we had some family members over at the house, but this year everybody else had plans, and we said, you know what? Let's do Buca again. So we went to Costco. Pro tip, they have $100 gift cards for $70.
Not bad.
So huge discount.
Buca di Beppo, for those who don't know, it's a small chain of Italian restaurants. Which one are you going to, Don?
One on PCH in Redondo Beach.
All right. So if anybody wants to...
It's all family style Italian. It's good stuff.
Sounds good. All right. Maybe I'll fly out and join you. Not that you've invited me, but whatever.
You're welcome to join us and partake in the big ziti and Chianti.
All right. That actually sounds like a good option. I like that. All right. Love you. Happy Thanksgiving. See you next week, everybody.